is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Leland Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't really have a clue what it is that you do at 11 o'clock. But whatever it is that you do, I'm happy that you do and not do, and that you decided to do that do with me. You know, if you've been following me for any amount of time, they give me Wally 2 days back to back, y'all. I just get excited when I see Wally. Wally is like producer Jesus, right? So he descends out of producer Mount Olympia, and he just kind of descends into the studio like draft. And so when you see him, you never really know what to do. But I'm happy to have him here. Yeah, hopefully Wally didn't tell anybody he was somewhere else, right? but if you've been following this show any at all, you know that during the month of November, I wanted to do a series. It's called Pregnant in the Pandemic, and I found some people. Some of them have had stories different from the ones that others have had. And you met Destiny 2 weeks ago. Last week, you met Miss Moxie, Shikara Moxie, who had diametrically opposite experiences, albeit because, you know, after the show, let me tell you what happens. Because I happen to be a local community watering hole ambassador in my afterlife once I leave the studio, they critique me, right? And so they let me know what it is that they heard. So 2 weeks ago, the story was, oh my God, I couldn't even work anymore. I fainted at my desk and I couldn't stop wetting up my napkin. Last week was, well, you could have anything once you got your corn, Papa. The woman say she gone and endeavored the insurance card and boom, zero problems, right? And so there is a general thought that if you go private and if you go private with insurance, then you know, you have nothing to fear. But I think today we're going to have a slightly opposite story from that story, because this one isn't Doctor's Hospital. This one is actually PMH. And it's not so bad, right? Like, you know, like it's PMH, but you didn't die. So you know, it was really cool. And so I hope these stories let you know what it is that some of the Bahamian women in this country have had to go through during their time in pregnancy, in a pandemic. It is heart-wrenching, I would imagine, to hear stories of people going into a hospital and going in pregnant, but coming out dead. And only God knows what the minds of the women that have had to go through that were like during the times that they've gone through it, all right? So you can text me, 422-4796, as we go through our show about pregnancy in the pandemic. Stay with me. Hopefully the rest of it is as exciting. I'm joined in the studio this morning. I do have a guest. I have the celebrity. Can I tell you that they wanted to beat me up last week because she was idiot? I don't know. I thought this apologize. Was Unleashed with Levan Miller. I don't know how the people mad that Roxy ain't here. That don't make sense to me, right? Like, I get it. If you tune into Unleashed with Levan Miller and Levan Miller ain't here, that you could be upset, right? I don't know if you could really be upset if you tune into Unleashed with Levan Miller and Roxy in here.
I feel like that was warranted. Come on.
I don't know. I'm protesting.
It's me. But I apologize. I was traveling, so I'm here now, though, and I will be here for the rest of the series.
Let's hope.
No.
Big time celebrity.
We ain't doing the petty thing today.
Big time celebrity status. They travel it all up and down, all over the place. They don't have time for, you know, little local radio talk shows. They don't have that kind of time in their calendar. And I'm going to let my guest introduce herself. She is
Shekinah Munger.
Shekinah Munger. And she's the mother of
Samurai Munger.
Samurai.
Ooh, love that name.
Is you going to teach her like ninja jiu-jitsu?
You don't have a choice right now. You have predestined.
Yeah.
So, Shekinah, tell us a bit. You found yourself pregnant in the middle of the pandemic with the second wave of the pandemic. I think it was full throttle. People were going into hospital, not coming out well, or their babies weren't coming out well. Mm-hmm. But you claim that your time at PMH wasn't terrible.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't all that terrible.
Okay.
It wasn't all
so the stories that you've heard with regards to PMH, the treatment, the care, the COVID cases, outbreaks. First of all, let's go back to when you found out you were pregnant, right? Because, you know, the world was kind of scary. People were kind of not sure about what to do with life. Everyone was kind of in a panic. Food stores were having long lines. You couldn't go outside on Fridays. Because somehow COVID kills you on the weekend. When you found out you were pregnant, what was that like in your head?
When I found out I was pregnant, it was actually in December of 2019. So this was before the pandemic came.
Before the pandemic, okay.
But when the pandemic did come, like everything for me shut down.
Mm-hmm.
The entire me shut down. Mm. Because at the time, I'd already left my job from downtown. Mm-hmm. So, and I was basically labeled as the breadwinner of the family. So
okay.
I was like, oh my gosh, where am I going to get this money from?
Right.
And knowing me that I did work two jobs, I did not only had the job downtown, I also had like a small entertainment company, whereas I got me and my girls, we went out to different functions and we performed or remodeled. So I made extra, you know, little something on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped me to keep up with my bills. So when the pandemic came, it was hard for me to do that as well.
Mm. So 2019, December, is when you learned that you were pregnant.
Yes.
3 months later, the entire world is in a panic.
Yes.
It's on the news. Let me tell you what I remember. I remember when the news of a pandemic had broken out. I remember people like Dr. Dwayne San saying it's not a matter of if corona will come, it's a matter of when. And I think he's a smart doctor, but I still in the back of my mind said, what's the worst that'll happen? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Never had I ever anticipated that, like, everything would be shut down, the doctor, the gas station. So when you found out that you were pregnant, March came, the world shut down. How difficult was that? What were the difficulties created in that situation for
difficulties
you?
Difficulties created for that, in that for me was, one, there was a lot of tension in the home between my older siblings and my mom.
Okay.
Then the financial problem.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to navigate everything because I have two little sisters, you know, and they more function to me than they are to my mother. So when they come and they're like, we need this and we want this, it's like, how am I going to do this now?
Right.
And I'm preparing for a whole nother life.
Right. And you were a downtown employee. And if you know anything about the early days, I made the mistake of saying the second wave. No, you were actually in the first tranche of the pandemic. In those days, nothing was certain.
Right.
And the whole of downtown was closed. Like, literally, no stores, no anything. Everything completely shut down. Did depression start to set in?
It set in majorly. Mm-hmm. It set in majorly. Mm-hmm. I cried myself to sleep most nights until up to, I would say the January of this year. Mm-hmm. I cried myself to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That's how bad it was.
Human me, let me ask you a question now. So you found out you were pregnant before the pandemic.
Yes.
So you would have been doing normal clinic visits,
right,
normal hospital visits in a normal environment.
Yeah.
So I think she's the only guest who transitioned from actually being pregnant outside of the pandemic to in it. So how did your visits with the doctor, interactions at the clinic, because I know that there was a drastic shift in the way that we did things in the healthcare system. What was your experience from going from normal to now having to deal with doctors and nurses in the middle of this health crisis?
So having the big shift was that South Beach Clinic has now, that was my clinic that I went to. So that's now that the hospital.
Yeah, that became the clinic. The hospital. Yeah.
So me having to go all the way Elizabeth Estates to see the doctor and knowing that I don't really have much of a trance, that was kind of difficult. Mm-hmm. And then
where did they reassign you to?
Elizabeth Estates. That's where, yes.
It's like 3.5 miles away. It is.
I'm going to say 3.5 hours in traffic.
And it could be. It could be if you hit that child's hand, just park it in the wrong time. Yes. Yeah, no. I tell people this all the time, right? Like, for a very long time in my life, I did nothing that went east of Seabreeze Lane.
And now my child goes to school in Yamagura. So I leave the house at a very specific time every day.
But so now you have the headache of where do you live?
In the south.
So you live south. You're talking about maybe a 6 or 7 minute commute to the clinic, now turned into an hour and a half, depending on what time your clinic visit is.
No trans, no income.
And then when you get there, it's like, are you even going to be able to see the doctor? Because that's how many people are out there to see the doctor. And then they're treating you a certain type of way because it is COVID. So nobody wants to touch you. Nobody's talking to you. The nurses aren't really coming outside to answer your questions. So yeah, that was a bit of
A normal day like sitting down at the clinic, pregnant, I imagine at this time, about 4 months pregnant. So the belly kind of out now. You can't sit in the hard chair because, you know, I am pregnant and every now and again, my belly is getting my way, right? Like, what was that like for you not being able to go in the clinic, sitting out? Because March, April, May, June, those months are kind of warm.
Mm-hmm. Kind of warm.
Yeah, it ain't like...
When you're pregnant, everything hot. Yeah. It is hot.
I didn't want
it ain't no kind of warm. It hot.
I didn't want no lashes on me. I didn't want no weave on me. I had a frontal, a $300 frontal. I took that off. I yanked that off. I didn't want no lashes. I didn't want no nails. I bite my nails off. Mm-hmm. I was sick like a dog when I was pregnant. So I didn't want nobody bother me. And then when I was 4 months pregnant, you couldn't really tell I was pregnant because I'm naturally small.
Okay.
So... but a regular day at the clinic, it was just, you go in, you know, they take your vitals, your pressure, and you just wait in the waiting room for them to call your name. It wasn't like no hassle, no push, you know.
How did it change in COVID, though?
It was like, we need to hurry up, get these people out of here. Yeah. Too much people coming. We need to hurry up, get these people out of here. That's how it was. It was like a big rush.
Because I saw this disturbing thing happen at Flamingo Gardens. We got to take a short break. But I saw this thing happening at Flamingo Gardens where they would... bring the outside urinals or the outside toilets, right? And I get it. They're trying to be as accommodating as possible. But I tell people this all the time. The outside toilet only refreshingly wonderful for the first person who uses it. Everybody after him or her.
It's horrible.
It's horrible, right? And so I know that people had to battle with that in the COVID environment. The hand washing stations, again, is only pleasant for the first maybe 10 people that use it. After that, it's a mess.
That's if water stays in it.
Precisely, and that is if it continues to have water. And sometimes you get yourself in an awkward situation where you didn't put the soap on your hand.
And no water.
And I ain't no water here.
So you're doing this.
So, I mean, pregnancy, the arduousness of pregnancy, the conditions of not being able to go inside clinics, poor toilet facilities. I mean, do you at any point say to yourself, I don't want to be pregnant in a pandemic?
Yes. When that depression started kicking in, I said, Lord, did I make the right choice to have my daughter? Like, was this a good time? Mm-hmm. I started having major regrets.
We got to take a break. You're listening to Levin Miller on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. These things behoove me. We're talking about pregnancy in the pandemic. Don't go anywhere. I've got more show on the next side of the break.
Hubert Edwards Global, in collaboration with Dr. Dave Burrows and iRise, presents the 5th Annual Success Summit under the theme, Success Keys to Transform Your World, December 3rd through 4th. 2 days of transformational experiences with dynamic presenters from the Bahamas, Nigeria, Canada, USA, and Jamaica. You can't afford to miss this mind shift moment. 5 scholarship grants, 2 leadership awards, 1 life-changing event. This is a virtual event, so visit www.nlsolutionsbahamas.com for more details. This is what you've been waiting for. Success Summit 2021.
At a time when jobs are hard to find, crime is a concern, and Bahamians are uncertain about the future of the country, there is one paper you can rely on as your source of news and commentary. The Nassau Guardian delves deeper into the issues. We ask the tough questions. We tell your stories. If you haven't already, pick up a copy today. The Nassau Guardian, news and views that matter since 1844.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying with me. I'm Levin Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. That means I'm Unleash on your radio, and then that means it's somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock. I've got in studio with me Shekinah, and of course, the Roxy Star is in studio with me as we go through the series, Pregnant in the Pandemic. And if, in case you're just tuning in, Shekinah is telling us about her experience, which is interesting because hers started pre-pandemic world, right? And I can tell you, as somebody who particularly likes living my life in a straight line, that none of the straight lines that I had pre the pandemic exist anymore. My entire life is a sketchy blur of random happenings that I'm not really sure who is in charge of them at this point. And so I just cling on to the pieces of my life that still stay afloat, right? So I couldn't imagine being pregnant in the pandemic. I certainly couldn't imagine the transition of being pregnant pre-pandemic, when it's, because, you know, pregnancy is such a jovial time. Everybody's happy, your belly growing, your skin getting light, your hair getting a little rough. But other than that, people love you, right? And it's beautiful. People want to buy you things. They want to take you places. Everybody wants to bring you ice cream. And then you go to the pandemic where the doctors come outside to you in hazmat suits, like you are some sort of nuclear chemical reactor. And you know, the facilities diminish in quality, but you're still very pregnant, right? You talked about the depression that began to set in because of the time, because of the transition. Take me through what that depression looked like.
That depression looks like you never want to leave your room. I never left my room probably when I was pregnant. Probably like when I arrived, like at 8 months, my neighbors came next door and they were like, you have to come out, you have to walk around, you have to do some type of exercising because it's going to be hard for you to give birth if you don't get up. But I used to lay in my bed all day, every day, and just cry, just cry. And I used to pray, like, God, you know, sometimes I used to pray and say, God, take this baby away from me. I can't do it. I don't think I'll be able to do it, because at that time, it was in the middle of the pandemic. I was like 6-7 months pregnant, and I just didn't know what was going to become of the world. Like, what's going to happen? You understand? School shuts down, shop shuts down. And at this time, people are going to be selfish because and keep everything for themselves and their families. So it's like, who's going to share? Who's going to open up their arms? At this point, no one is. And then you're not allowed to go this place. Police is everywhere on the road. You know,
and they had gun. I saw them. They had gun. They were on my corner with gun.
So it's like, oh, my gosh. So if you leave, you, it's a point that you know you're going to get locked up, you're going to get fined. We don't have no money for that. And then I ordered baby clothes. So that also stopped. You know, the world shutting down, shipping companies, everything that stopped. So that got canceled. And I'm like, is shops going to open so I can at least get, if not only, two receiving blankets and something for my baby to come back out in? It was just terrible. And I could hear my mom in the other room praying and crying out to God. And my siblings out in the front just fighting like cats and dogs. And I just was like, God, you got to step in. You have to make a way.
I want to ask you a question. I know we talked about your depression based on the way the world was going, based on the pandemic itself. A lot of women suffer depression under normal circumstances during a pregnancy because of, you know, lack of support from family, lack of support from, you know, the significant other, lack of access to certain things and the ability to carry the pregnancy in the way you would want to. And this is barring a pandemic. So let's just step outside of the pandemic as a whole. what was your headspace like just with support? Now, I know you said you suffered depression, but did you have any type of support system throughout your pregnancy? And to follow that question, I'm looking at you now, and there's no depression dropping off you, even though sometimes, you know, just for all intents and purposes, depression never really looked like what you're going through in a lot of people. They don't carry it the same way. But you look like things have turned around, and if they have, how was that transition as well? So I want to hear about your support, but I also want to hear about the transition. Your daughter's here, and how have you made those steps to kind of try to move forward?
So when I first found out I was pregnant, I had no support from my significant other at all.
Mm-hmm.
His whole lookout was get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I had continuous support from my family.
Okay.
I can tell you that my brothers, my mom, my sisters, my father, I had support from them from day one. I walked inside and I said, I am pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I had full support until this day. They are still backing me up.
Mm-hmm.
Like a brick wall.
So that was a major crutch then.
Mm-hmm. My brother, he's on the defense force now.
Okay.
Thank God, Hercules Monka, and he
shout out Hercules Monka.
Yes,
keep protecting our country.
Yes.
You know you have a special place for the defense force here.
Yes, I do.
Yes, and he, God put it so that he was, you know, working somewhere
mm-hmm.
that entitled, and it carried some baby's things,
mm-hmm.
and. As the days went by, he came to me and he said, I don't want you to tell nobody this, but I got called for the defense force.
Okay.
Like, in the pandemic, they called you?
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, yeah, I go in the next 2 weeks. So I say, okay. I kept that to my heart. He came that Friday,
mm-hmm.
and he stacked up my room from the floor to the roof with different stages of baby pampers, wipes, bottles, pacifier, blanket, pillow, nightdress, if you name it. It was there, and I was
like, I'm not surprised, you know.
Of course not.
Defense Force man.
Of course not.
Defense Force man is the best set of man, you know, right after Auckland's man. So if you find you are Auckland's Defense Force man, I don't get no amens in here, but, you know.
No, because they will also assist you in losing weight, ladies. If you need to drop 20 pounds quickly, feel free to date one of them.
So you get these things. Take me to the point where you're going to PMH now. There is pandemonium everywhere. The wards are all overloaded. People are dying. At this point, people have already began dying. Your baby was born when?
My baby was born August 20th of 2020.
August 20th, 2020.
Yes.
You watching the news, every single time you turn it on, there's a chart that says, this amount of people died today, this amount of people are infected. It was the one thing that consumed the media houses, right? You're watching every time you cut on your TV, there's a health presser, the minister of health is on, the chief medical officer is on, but you now have to go to the medical facility. So for you, it ain't stats. For you, this is life, right? What are you going through in your mind as you approach PMH with its already sometimes dreadful analysis by people that have gone there? What are you thinking in your mind? With that analysis, knowing that now that same PMH is under heavy pressure, and knowing full well that you may go in here, and oftentimes having birth is difficult, but you are now going in this hospital, in a maternity ward, in a COVID environment.
At that moment, I just like, God, protect me and my child.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have heard way before I went in the hospital, you know, that there were other women who did transition into the pandemic just like me, but they child or they did not make it.
Mm-hmm.
So at that moment, I just was really praying, and I was like, God, allow them to be careful with me, or at least be careful with my baby. Someone has to, you know, come out. And I'll be honest with you, that labor pain don't play. So I was like, I just want her out.
Yes.
I just want her out.
Let's make that clear, that labor pain does not play.
I was like, I just want her out. And when I arrived there, it was at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
It was at midnight, and I was in there. I couldn't keep still because the more I laid down, the more pain I was in. So I was like trying to stand up and breathe and walk around.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if the midwife was supposed to get off, or she was already done, supposed to bend off, but she was very upset that I walked in, that I came in there.
Okay.
And the head midwife assigned her to me. When it came down to me being checked up, I had a lot of practice doctors,
mm-hmm.
like a lot of doctors, I guess, who were in
like
training.
Interning, yeah.
Oh, wow.
they were.
This probably was the 20 or 30 doctors that ended up contracts ending, et cetera, et cetera. So you got caught up in that whole thing now. So
they were dealing with me and taking my information and everything. And she just, the midwife that they assigned to me, she just did not care at all. She just did not care at all. She put something in my hand, I guess, was for the drips, and it came out and blood started just splashing everywhere. And then it came to the time where she had to burst my water bag, and she just left me on the bed. I was about to faint.
After you had been induced?
Yes, okay. She just left me there. And my daughter, she got stuck to my pelvis, and then she stole in me.
Oh, wow.
And it wasn't until I was like laying there, I was about to faint. I was going unconscious. I had no energy, nothing. I wasn't even calling for the nurse. I just was laying there. And a doctor, he's probably shorter than Rock and Star over here.
And he's what y'all can do is respect me, you know. And y'all can respect me today.
And I just saw like this little head walk by the bed, and he just started screaming for a bed. He's like, yo, bring a bed. I need a bed. She needs to go in the theater right away. The baby's stolen her. And he's looking on the monitor, and he's screaming for a bed to come in. If they leave me any longer, I probably wouldn't have made it, because only God knows what happened if my daughter did swallow that.
Wow.
And I was so out of it. They was just carrying me down the hall into the theater, and all I could have saw was lights.
So you had a C-section?
Yes.
Okay. You didn't plan for a C-section? You thought you were just going to have a normal birth?
No. Okay. I didn't think I was going to have a normal birth.
You always knew you were going to have a C-section?
Yes.
Okay.
I just didn't think that they would have left me there that long before realizing that I would need a C-section. Because I said to the lady, and I explained to her, I say, I really think I would need a C-section because my baby is very big for how small I am. And they didn't need to gas me up because I was already gone. Honestly, they didn't need to gas me because I was already gone. And when I woke up the next morning, I was pale. I lost a lot of blood. And I could have heard the midwife on the phone with my mom crying. And yeah, she was crying. And they were rowing her. The doctors was rowing her. Yeah, they were.
So you go from because you were going to, were you scheduled for a C-section or were you just scheduled to have birth?
I was just scheduled to have birth.
Okay, so the C-section wasn't planned. Because if you plan C-sections, they give you an appointed time.
Right.
Right? So you get into the hospital to have a baby. They obviously need to induce you. They do that. But then they leave you.
Yes, right? They leave
and
me there.
Do you even know why they left you?
No, I have no idea why they left me. Because she told me, okay, I'm going to induce you now. She did it. And that was it. I just was left there.
How many hours would you say?
I was probably there for like maybe like 2 hours, just there, just laying there.
Okay.
After she had.
But that's reasonable time. If you induce a woman, 2 hours isn't, you know, they tell you the baby coming. You got like 1 hour and 30 minutes before the baby really, really, really come. Right? Yeah. So they leave you there, but you have this issue where your baby decides that it's going to, you know, relieve itself of its fecal matter.
Yeah.
Inside the womb or whatever that is that's going on there. And now you have an emergency on your hand.
Yes.
They rush you into theater. You have a C-section. You say that there's a doctor that realizes that you are obviously suffering some sort of trauma and gets you into theater.
Yes.
You don't recall any of that, though, because I imagine that you were gassed up and sleeping. But you get up, and now there's a frenzy going on with nurses and the doctors that are all suggesting that something went wrong.
Yes.
You know that you don't look the way you ought to. You look emaciated, according to you. Your skin's pale,
and
you're very cold.
I was wrapped up in 6 blankets. And you know PMH don't never have no blankets. Where these blankets come from. Right. But I was wrapped up in 6 blankets. That's just how pale I was. I lost a lot of blood.
Okay. So now you're out of surgery. You're conscious. You tell me, though, that from that point on, your experience isn't so bad. It's actually pretty decent. The baby looks wonderful and healthy. Yeah. And tell me a little bit about how did that translate in your mind?
I wasn't too as yet, but I could remember me just telling the lady, I was like, can I see my baby? Can you bring my baby to me, please? And I just kept on asking to see my baby. And she brought my baby later on that evening. And I saw my baby. And I was very happy that I saw my baby. Then she's saying, okay, now you could go sleep. I think the difference was because the people I dealt with later was not young. They weren't young.
Okay.
They were much older and more and seasoned.
Mm-hmm.
So they were very respectful.
Mm-hmm.
And the next morning I woke up and I actually could have come to, although I couldn't stand up. She said, okay, I'm going to get the doctor. I'm going to ask the doctor if you could eat, if you could have some tea, because we really need to bring up your sugar level.
Okay.
So they were very understanding and they was hand and foot for me, I would say. So, yeah. So,
there's someone here on the text line asking me, how did you get good service in PMH? Do you have family members in there?
No. Yeah. I have no family members
in PMH. So you weren't connected? No insurance? This is
no,
just you?
No insurance, no.
This is you in the hospital, like a typical Bahamian, expecting PMH to deliver you good medical service.
Yes.
And you're saying that at the beginning it wasn't bad, but then there was this little travesty in the middle.
Yes.
And then as you turn to Ben, the baby's born, the surgery is over, the doctor has done a wonderful job. And now you begin to experience good customer service again from BMH.
Yes.
Okay.
My breast milk wasn't springing as yet, so they constantly brought me the Enfamil that the hospital provides. So they constantly brought me that. And they constantly came to me, your baby pooped today, stuff like that. So they discharged me at a very timely manner as well. So I wasn't in there for the entire time. My baby didn't have no jaundice. And then when I came out of the hospital, which was very surprising to me, they gave me a call. They said that, how does your baby eyes look?
What is
your baby doing? How are they?
This is PMH.
This is the exact opposite
of the first story. Right. This is exactly the opposite of the first story.
Because Destiny lost her baby due to and never got a call from the hospital.
No, never got a call, didn't get a follow-up.
Not a follow-up.
They said, what your baby is doing? I said, she's asleep. Go then, open up your baby eyes. What color is your baby eyes? I say, it's starting to look a little yellowish. Kick that baby in the sun right now, right now. Take the baby in the sun. Do you know that you're supposed to take the baby in the sun? So I carried my baby out in the sun and the eyes started coming back. She said, okay. Then she said, did you get your Med 4 form? So I was like, what is that? She
PMH?
You supposed
NIV.
To come back from
wow. Wow.
She said, you got to come and let the doctor write up your form so you can get your little cheddar. She say if you check in your bag that you left out and if it's not there, then you must come back and ask for Dr. So-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
So I did exactly that. And she say, well, you go in. And then she told me how to go and register my baby and everything. So it was very nice. But I could, on the phone, I could understand and I could hear that I was speaking to a seasoned person.
She need to be training. She need to be doing the training. This is evident. She need to be doing the training.
Someone on the text line says, or is asking, do you think they treated you that way because they almost killed you?
I was going to ask it too.
Do you think that, I'm just asking. I'm not saying that they aren't. Let me please make sure I make this clear. There are nurses and doctors out there that I have friends of mine. I think you all are amazing people and you work very, very, very hard. I want them to always give you all everything that you all deserve.
But you think that call came down?
But I'm asking.
I better take care of
her. I'm asking though. I mean, but maybe not because being inducted into the hospital wasn't terrible.
No.
Right? You had a pretty decent... Was that chaotic? Like registering, getting on the ward?
No, not at all.
That was pretty seamless.
That was like... Yeah.
Right? And then outside of the water inducement, the water breaking thing, and the doctor and the baby and the stool and the stuff, other than that, you really had no incident. Because even when that happened, a doctor recognized it right away, which is what they should do.
And fixed
the rushed issue. You into theater, right? That didn't take any excessive amount of time. It wasn't a bunch of paperwork. It was, this is an emergency. Let's get her moving.
Yes.
They cut the baby out of you. They obviously take great care of the baby, put him under the light or whatever it is, you know, you do to babies. And then they follow up with you.
Yes.
In a way that
for
I've actually never
an entire
heard of.
2 weeks, either. They followed me up for 2 weeks until my baby was registered.
So I'll give this anecdote. I had a friend of mine. She had my godchild. And she went through PMH as well. And I will say that she got that follow-up call to check on the baby, to bring the baby back in for a checkup. And they were pretty good with her, too. But again, she had seasoned nurses on the ward, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, so, and I just think it's that maternal instinct that happens over time. Not that because you're a young mother, you don't have that instinct, but that one that you's a mummy and a grammy and you just watch your kids every day and you really love what you do. And I think that's sometimes that bedside manner doesn't translate. And then, you know, and there's also the fact that a lot of the younger persons coming up in the medical profession now, we grew up in a time of such disconnect. You know, we grew up in an age where we text instead of call, where I rather shoot the text message instead of see you. We don't connect as easily human to human as generations before us.
I have to confess, yeah. Please don't call me. Calling me makes me nervous.
Yeah, I don't like phone calls either. I hang up on you and text you back and say what's up.
Please don't call me.
but like that, like the person said, did they treat me that way because they almost killed me? Honestly, I would not know. But I've had times where I've been in PMH before, during my school years. I've had panic attacks, I would say asthma attacks. I've been in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And no, they've never treated me off.
But this so you're saying that this behavior is kind of normal? That you go to PMH and you get pretty decent service?
Yes, for me.
Maybe it's because she light skinned.
I don't know. I was going to say it too, but anyway, I glad to come with your mom.
Anyway, let's go to a break. I'm leaving Miller. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm here with Miss Shekinah. That's her first name. It's not her last name. I just like the way it sounds. And of course, Roxy Starr is joining me in studio as we go through the series Pregnant in the Pandemic. Don't watch you.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying with me. Levan Miller here, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Let me give you the numbers because you may want to talk to, I don't know, 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259. You can text me on 422-4796. I'll say it again because y'all like to say I say it fast. The numbers are 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, you can call me on those. You can text me on 422-4796. So, Shekinah, you get in the hospital, you've gotten your baby, you're out of the hospital with no insurance, with no special privilege that we could identify other than the fact that you're light skin. and if you don't believe light skin privilege is a real thing,
then
I don't know what to say to you, but I do, right? But you had a wonderful experience. And you had your baby when there were no swabs in the hospital, Dwayne Sands was getting fire, all kind of things was happening, right? And so it was a crazy time. It was a crazy time. Yes. A lot of people was panicking. Because remember, there was the whole window of, well, Jesus, who even could be the next minister of health? Mm-hmm. What's going on in the hospital? And there's no time.
And the fire, was, nobody.
And NIB wasn't paying out, really.
Right. And NIB wasn't really was even open on. Because NIB had its surges of COVID. And, you know, they were closed for a bit. Damn inland revenue. Everyone was just surging COVID all over the place.
And then you had the highest rate of claims in the country's history at one time.
Precisely. And And but you came out with had a doctor or a nurse that follows up with you and man tell you come back to get your med for form. You go back. What is that process like? What is the business of taking care? Because people don't understand. Bringing a life into the world and erasing a life from the world are probably two of the most labor-intensive things you'll ever do.
Yep.
Because you have to put all of these systems in place for the life that will come, the med for, the live birth, the blah, 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 right? And so there is business involved with borning a child.
Yes.
What was that process like for you, having to deal with NIB that was dysfunctional at best at the time? And shout out to all my friends over there at NIB. You know I love you all very much. PMH that was obviously surging with COVID at the time and not even letting people in. Like, people couldn't just come to visit you. You couldn't have people at your side.
Not at all.
You couldn't have somebody walk you to the door. Literally, the only thing...
I had to go in there by myself.
Right. And when you come out, you came out by yourself. Your family can't pick you up till you get to the parking lot. What was the aftermath of the pregnancy like for you?
The aftermath of the pregnancy for me, it was kind of scary. It was scary. Like I said, that's when postpartum kicked in. Because here I am. Like I said, people looked at me as the breadwinner of the family, so therefore I no longer could have, you know, afford certain bills. So I had to move out, and I moved out with my little sisters by my dad.
Okay.
And my mom, this is like the first time me and my mom has really been separated in 21 years of my life.
Wow.
So her and my other siblings, my older siblings, they go one way, and me and my little siblings, we go one way. And it was really scary because here I am with this newborn baby, and the only person I know that can really help me is my mother. Wow. And I'm being separated from her.
Mm-hmm.
When they did call me for the med for form for me to go and collect my cheddar from NIB, I had my mom on the phone call. I was like, "Mommy, how you go about doing this?
Because,
you know, I really don't know." But at that time, I can say I really grabbed the bull by its horns and did what I had to do. I went and I got my baby registered. It didn't take long for me to get her registered at all. When I went there, once you call and you made the appointment, when you need, they was expecting you for a certain time, they allow you to come and you register your baby. I went and I put in for the NIB card. The NIB card only took like 2 weeks.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
It only took 2 weeks. When it came down to, I would say, collecting from NIB, the cheddar, I had a little complication with that.
The money took a little while to come.
Yeah, it took a little while to come.
Is it because you
would
pay
then,
it through the app thing that they started?
No,
okay, you actually went and got a check.
I actually went and I got two checks. And
I see why I needed to make a baby.
Something. It ain't, I don't know what it is.
Okay.
What happened is I didn't know, really say, like I said, I really didn't know the process, and they needed one of my, I guess, my managers who I worked for to fill out the back form. But I emailed them. I let them know that, hey, look, I ain't got no contact with these people. These people are Indians. I don't even know if they went back home.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, you know what? A lady from NIB, she emails me herself directly.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Miss Alva White. Shout out to Miss Alva White.
Okay.
She said, if you want to collect, it's here in the system that you've been working, but if you want to collect, I need you to write a letter to NIB yourself stating that you've been working for a certain amount of time and you would like to collect. And then you just place your NIB number at the bottom of the form. Mm. And after that was done, I sent her an email saying, you know, the letter's been dropped off. She sent me a letter, email back saying, received with, thanks. And then she emailed me a week later and she said, you can go ahead by the stadium and pick up your
checks. So you are actually a walking, living, breathing embodiment that there are systems in the Bahamas that work if the people that work the systems come to work.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay, so yes. PMH was delightful for you. NIB was delightful for you.
Yes,
you
I
were able to go in and have your baby.
What?
You know, in case you want to donate something.
My womb's almost tingled just now. But then I realized after that money run out, it's the next 18 years I have to worry about.
In case you want to donate something to a charity, it's L-E. The Y is in the middle. People always mess up.
And the Roxy at the end is silent.
You had your baby, got your money. You ended up having to live with your dad because, like you say, you're not making money anymore.
No.
I think I think that then creates a new set of issues for you, because people don't ever understand this. Your family love you where you live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? I love all of my cousins, them.
But at their house.
When they home where they live.
Yeah.
Yeah? And you could come by me, you got a 2-hour window where we could talk about a little bit of gossip, and then I start looking for my keys, because I ain't going nowhere, but I just need you to go, right? Yeah. So you love your family where they live, right? And you now find yourself having to live not where you've always lived, but to live with family.
Yes.
Because it's a pandemic. Ain't no money making. You can't afford no apartment. Life is happening, right?
Yes.
What does that do for you mentally in the middle of a pandemic?
That sent me on a rage. I started having suicidal thoughts. I was like, can't do this.
Mm.
You know, I can't. When you're the type of person that's so used to being in your own space,
mm-hmm.
and then you turn on, you become a family, you have a family of your own, it's like, you know, you just, and at the time I felt stuck.
Independent.
Independent. And one thing I don't like depending on anyone. Mm-hmm. You know, even if that's me asking you for a ride, I'd rather walk
mm-hmm.
from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was kind of difficult for me. And the whole thing that they wasn't expecting us to come there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just like a last minute thing. My dad knew we were coming there, but they didn't, you know.
And you only just come by yourself. You come with a baby in tow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Bahamians are...
I came with packages.
Oh, you come with more than one package.
Sisters too.
Sisters.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, and Bahamians are... I don't even know what to say about it sometimes, but... You know, we judgy.
Very judgy.
Right? We judgy, and we literally...
Very judgy.
We literally... See,
all this baby.
It was just her.
Mm.
But miss you and your baby must come.
Real.
Like, they expect you to lead a baby somewhere, right? But how does a new mom with a brand... Because the baby can't... I can't lead a baby.
No.
How does a new mom with a new baby cope with having to deal with some of the incidences that the pandemic created, which is no money, so now I need to eat y'all grocery, nowhere to live, so I need to sleep in y'all house. I am an adult, so I don't intend for y'all to treat me like a child in here, even though this ain't in my house. And because that's difficult, mm-hmm. right? There are some things that I do that I just do because that's what I just do, and because I is an adult and I've been doing it. There are some things I do not do. Like, so please, I know you all is play Vibes Cartel 7 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, but man, you can't put your headphones on it because I hear. And so you have to learn to live with people. Is that a massive adjustment, particularly in a time when the Prime Minister is on the TV telling you, you better don't come out the house or you might go to jail?
That right there, one thing I can say about my siblings, everybody, they're used to being out.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's used to being out. No one likes to bother with no one. Mm-hmm. I can say that for a fact. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody likes to be bothered, so we don't bother no one.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that there were a few incidents, you know, a few back and forths that happened when we first went there.
That's not true.
But, yeah. But everybody came to, like, an understanding and an agreement, and everything's like, you know, normal. Everybody you needed, they come. Well, without you asking, mm-hmm. they'll come and they'll, you know, give and stuff like that. So everybody just live at one. And I, like I say, it's a house full of children.
Mm-hmm.
When I say a house full of children, I'm talking about 5-year-olds, 10-year-olds running around.
So oh, wow.
My daughter coming there, you know, they just, even if they don't like me, they love my daughter.
Yeah.
And they will always look out for my daughter. So they come, if they're giving out to the other kids, they'll come and knock on my room door. Because sometimes I don't come out. They'll knock on the room door and they'll be like, give this to Samurai.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I don't get a popsicle? No, because you're a grown adult.
Wow. Yeah,
so.
So I have a question. I have a question for you. So we've talked about adversity and the things you've overcome to bring Samurai into this world, where the beginning of her life started and the adversities and the hardship that came with that. But now I feel like we need to celebrate you because I need the next half of the story, and I feel the next half of the story got to go on air. Where are you now?
Where I am now, In January of 2021, I attended the University of the Bahamas Revive Academy program where they was offering literacy and numeracy classes.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I failed BGCSE with a hard E in maths. So
hard E.
Hard E. E stands, yes, kindred spirit.
Excellence, baby. Yeah. E stands for excellent.
Yes. Or expert.
Yes.
And I went there and I spoke to the president of the program. She said, if you could sit this one maths class up to level 4 or 5, you will meet the criteria for maths BGCSE. And I did exact that. I passed all of my classes with A's and B's. And I graduated from there with my head held high. They also offered some class, some reflection engagement classes and some mm-hmm. counseling classes. And also some interview classes as well, where they teach you how mm-hmm. to, you know, mm-hmm. for job interviews. And I sat all of them. And what I can say is when I went there, I wasn't alone. I had people who was there who was young moms just like me. They had 2 and 3 kids. They came and they took advantage of the classes. Mm. They took advantage of the reflection engagement. They came to me and they said, hey, if your baby doing this, this is what you could do. And everybody just became a family on the campus. You mm-hmm. understand? And It really opened up my heart, and it just made me realize that, hey, look, I can go further from this, mm-hmm. you understand? And after that, I went and I said, you know what? I dropped out of college, and I want to go back, and this time I want to do it for real. And I went online, and I called the college, and I was like, is it okay for me to come back? And they're like, yes, we would love for you to come back. And it was like, okay, they accept me to do my business administration and for my bachelor's degree in business mm-hmm. administration. And then I was nominated for National Youth Award in Personal Triumph
mm-hmm.
for 2021, and I took home that award.
Woo! Can we clap? Do you clap? Wow. Yeah, that a thing? Do we have a clap sound effect? No?
I don't know. We're working on it.
We can work on it. We'll have that next time.
And I am now employed at the Ministry of Health and Wellness, Bahamas.
Wow. And all of this through
a pandemic.
A pandemic.
That's crazy.
Yes. That is amazing. That is amazing. So the stories aren't all bad.
No.
The stories aren't all bad.
I forgot. I missed out something. I did a dance program this summer as well. I had about 12 students,
mm-hmm.
$75 each. And yeah, it was great.
So you also became an entrepreneur.
I love that.
In the pandemic. Wow. That is amazing.
And I didn't really think that I was going to have those students come during the pandemic, because my little sister was like, you can do this and we're going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And they went and they begged my dad. They was like, we want to go dance. So he paid and they came and
nothing
they helped.
Like a good daddy.
Yes.
I know, right? Mm-hmm. He paid and they came and they helped, and mm-hmm. it was excellent.
Wow. So what is little Samurai up to these days?
Samurai is now in school. She's in pre-K.
Hey.
She's a year old and she's potty training, and she's knowing things. She talks when she wants to. So when she goes out, she's mm-hmm. a big girl. But when she comes home, she wants to be a baby.
Okay. All right. That's cool.
As she should.
Ms. Shikai and I, thank you so much for joining me. I think this has been a wonderful story.
Yes.
Hopefully you've provided hope for someone out there.
Absolutely. Right?
That has some panic in their heart about the public sector of PMH. It ain't all bad, right?
No.
Text writer here says, bad. This was a beautiful show. The nurses are extremely nice at PMH. Another one here says, leaving the problem at PMH isn't good doctors. It's the alleged incompetence and negative attitudes that are allowed to continue operating. Mishaps after mishap, a shift is 8 hours. 8 hours is covered by an incompetent doctor who doesn't recognize jaundice, and your baby is dead. If this incident is an example of good service, we should all be running down the street screaming. PMH needs an immediate program in, what is this? Cyclically assess. Y'all really like to test my language.
I love
medical
that.
Staff. Anyway, that's my time. That's my show, Roxy Starr. Thank you so much for
Absolutely.
Coming.
Absolutely.
Roxy, I could tell the people, don't beat me up and you can't come or they can't find
y'all
me.
Leave
She
leave
on Facebook,
alone.
Roxy
tries.
Starr. Y'all go look
His
for her
best.
And case her out, all right?
Yeah. No. Y'all don't want that type of smoke in y'all inbox. But I will be here next Tuesday.
All right. That's my time. Thank you so much for staying with me. Leaving Miller, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't move. They've got the news. That's now.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory, glory.
Oh,
glory.
Glory.
the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is